living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
As we were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. We know from the Bible how the risen Christ appeared to his disciples in the garden, in the upper room, by the seashore, on the road to Emmaus. But how does he appear to us today in the world that you and I live in? Before I try to answer that question, let's look at the situation. As we read in Luke's Gospel, the disciples gathered together. John adds the dramatic detail that they were behind locked doors out of fear, possibly too. There on the evening of that first Easter day, they huddled together, doubtful, fearful, disbelieving, wondering what would happen next. Even though Mary Magdalene and Johanna and Mary, the mother of James, had told them that they received the angel's message, assuring them of Jesus' resurrection, the others dismissed the best news ever announced as an idle tale. Some of them had been to the tomb and had seen the empty grave, but still they doubted. The body of Jesus was missing. That was their paramount concern, as well as worry about their own future. This was a scary situation, and there would be consequences. There would be an investigation, and charges could be brought against a whole lot of them. At this point, they couldn't understand the message of Easter that says, and I quote, "You can put truth in the grave, but it won't stay there." Maybe it's easy for us to understand their state of mind, but what is hard to accept is that without warning, the risen Christ appeared and stood among them. It was hard for them to believe what they saw, and it was only after they had examined his nail-pierced hands and his wounded side that they were filled with joy and their anxiety finally subsided. The whole event was hard for the disciples to believe, but it is even harder for us to believe today, considering the lapse of time between what happened back then and where you and I are now. Is there any connection? You betcha. The main reason we find it hard to believe is not because Easter insults our intelligence, since it can't be proved by any scientific method, but rather it is our fear that if we did believe, then we might have to change our life. Maybe we'd have to change some of the traditional and limited ways of looking at the world and one another. So rather than facing reality as it is, it may be easier for us to escape into denial. Several of Jesus' disciples went home. Peter left to go fishing. But ironically, Peter was met by the risen Christ at the seashore. I think that's great. Two disciples head off to Emmaus just to get out of town, where they soon recognize their Lord in the breaking of the bread at a common meal. The risen Christ appeared to Mary in the garden, and at first she thought he was the gardener. Yet the risen Christ pursues and confronts us today. He enmeshes himself in all our situations. He appears to us now in the contemporary experiences and the common routines of daily life. For that is the message of the Easter Gospel that compels us to think and face reality and to move on through our sufferings and misfortunes. You and I have been taught the old bromide, the opposite of love is indifference. I just can imagine some professor saying that to his class. Oh, we would like to get rid of that. Our Jesus is never indifferent to anyone, to anything. He still wants to be known. He still wants to be present in a living, lasting relationship with him. The question that you and I must face every year about this time is not, did it really happen back then? But does this kind of thing happen to us today? Oh, we would like to believe it was so. We would like to believe that Jesus is alive and can break through the bolts and locks and walls that we so often manufacture to hide and close ourselves off. We would like to believe that Christ can penetrate our walls and closed doors, our walled up minds and hearts. We would like to believe that there will be an end to the ISIS violence and peace in the Middle East. We would like to believe that there is more to life than what meets the eye, more than what is known here and now, past the gate and doorway of death for us and our loved ones. We would like to believe that materialism is not life's highest value. We would like to believe that love really makes the world go round, that God is fully in charge and can still work miracles in the great universe he created. But we become afraid. The possibility of resurrection and new life is just too big for us to take in, too big for us to handle or even hope for. And so we back off into what is known, into what is conventional, what is predictable, and what is, above all, comfortable. But then, regardless of our feelings, regardless of our fears and doubts, Christ comes among us. The same risen Christ who confronted the disciples is the Christ who confronts us now in this Eucharist, in this wonderful service of Holy Baptism, to comfort and disturb us, to lift us forward, to move us forward, to save and to judge. I know I'm still begging the question, have you noticed that I raised the first? How does Jesus Christ appear to us now? Does he still appear in the dramatic ways he appeared to the disciples after the resurrection? Or as he did to Paul on the road to Damascus in a blinding light? Though these sorts of immediate appearances are possible today and may still happen from time to time, they are not the ways Christ confronts most of us. Our resurrection with Christ may not be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Resurrection, new life, renewal, breakthroughs of God into our prayers, our sacraments, our worship, our consciousness may happen again and again in the resolution of conflicts, in the cessation of pain, in the lessening of problems we cannot seem to solve by our efforts alone. We are called to believe that Christ is present with all of us all the time. We don't have to call him or drag him into our experience or beg him to be with us. As he said, "Lo, I am with you always. And when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." This tells us that Jesus Christ appears to us at least in three very distinct ways. First, Jesus appears to us, Jesus comes to us whenever and wherever there is a need. Not just in a crisis, but whenever we ask him and acknowledge Christ's presence among us. He is there in the midst. The disciples knew this full well, and so can we. Secondly, Jesus appears to us as we are aware of others around us and the gifts they bring us, the gifts this church offers so many people. Thirdly, there is knowing of Christ in our awareness of responsibility, responding to that gift, saying, "What can I do to help? How can I make a situation better?" Christ creates in us a necessity for choice, an opportunity for service, a compulsion to reach out, to care, to sacrifice, to love. That's how Christ appears to us these days. The risen Christ calls us forth and commissions us to be ambassadors to this world. And often this disclosure comes in our lives in spite of ourselves, when our windows of possibility are hammered shut and the gas gauge in our car is on empty. Isn't that exactly what happened to the disciples? Can't that same thing happen to us? They became new and changed people after their encounter with the risen Christ, and what he taught and preached about back then all of a sudden started to make sense. They became aware and involved in a new mission, a new calling, not of their own design, but in a higher purpose outside of themselves. They were called by Christ to be witnesses as we are, servants as we are, heralds of the Easter gospel as we are, and they were both given the means and the joy and the strength to do just that. This is how Christ appears to us most of the time, in ordinary, simple, everyday ways, through need, through others, through the challenges to take responsibility, to make peace, to establish justice on our streets, in our schools and workplaces, and in our homes, to make a difference. And so we can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.